WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Mood, we're going to be very calm, collected, and not going to rant on this show.
And apparently country.
Apparently country. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin', and that was Lindsay Ward.
It's interesting music. I'm not sure if I like it or dislike it. Like, it sounds very Nashville.
Kinda.
But, like, modern Nashville. But not country rap, because that's just crap. But
it's just,
I don't know.
It's a guitar, and it's just sort of calming.
It's very calming, because we're not going to yell about things tonight. We're going to yell about things on Thursday, because I did actually yell about things last night.
She did.
I was very upset.
She was. She was very upset.
And overjoyed at the same time. It was a confusing night. But yeah, so this is the Monday Night Raw after Extreme Rules, the horror show. And I use that term very loosely. There's really only one thing that kind of qualified as a horror show, but it fit the bill. So I guess we can call it that. And this was a weird fallout.
So Seth Rollins started to blame us for what happened to Rey Mysterio. He was blaming Rey Mysterio for suggesting the match. He was trying to shift the blame. That's what his opening promo was about shifting the blame, because we created the new Seth Rollins. We and Rey Mysterio put this upon himself, and yada, yada, yada. Aleister Black came out. He was about to send a message. They had a really good wrestling match.
Okay, I want to talk about this promo.
All right, go ahead.
And I'm going to go off a little bit, but I'm going to save a lot of it for Thursday, because there's a lot to talk about from this. So, in case you missed it, Seth Rollins last night won, obviously, where he removed Rey Mysterio's eyeball, in quotations, from his eye socket. You blinked and you missed it. There was no blood. The only way we knew was Samoa Joe very deadpanly saying, "It's out." Anyway, saving it for Thursday. The flip side to this is Seth Rollins' general reaction, which he sold it, except for the fact that he, and this is my one of my many issues with this match. Match itself was fine. Finish was very weird. Was that, I don't know if Seth has a moment of weakness, if it's supposed to be a moment of humanity. I'm not sure why there was this reaction. But aside from hurling, which is not sanitary, Seth shows this moment of remorse and almost regret. Like, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. So, this man, Mr. Rollins, has been trying to actively remove people's eyeballs for about 6 weeks, 2 months, somewhere in there. Did it to Rey Mysterio initially. Like, that's what this whole feud is about. is the fact that Seth Rollins jammed Rey Mysterio's face into the steel steps and supposedly put out his eye, which led to this match of, again, Seth Rollins or Rey Mysterio attempting to take somebody's eye. Then you actually do the thing, in theory, again, blinking you missed it, and you have Seth Rollins showing remorse, which it's like, okay, that's an interesting take on that. And then he comes out tonight, and number one, whoever started the shame chant, I am so proud of you. Two, now you have Seth being, again, not really showing any remorse, trying to pass the blame, being the heel, which is fine. He can do that, but that makes the reaction from last night make no sense to me whatsoever in terms of how they did this. Like, the wrestling match between Alistair and Seth was fantastic. I would watch that again in a heartbeat. But just the whole continuity thing, it doesn't click for me. Because it's like, if you're going to have Seth be this cold, calculating, merciless heel, which he was up until that fake eyeball came out of, you know, out of Rey Mysterio's eye socket, supposedly, in theory. Again, bleached and you missed it.
Rey couldn't blink.
Rey couldn't blink. Well, I mean, he could with one eye. But too soon. Way too soon. We're horrible people, by the way. I guess, why wouldn't you carry that through last night to Seth, almost reveling in his moment? Because that's Seth Rollins' moment, right? He wins. He succeeds in defeating Rey Mysterio, of taking his eye out. He's standing tall. He's done it without the help of Murphy, you know, despite the fact that Rey's had all this backup. In the end, Seth is triumphant, but he does nothing to revel or enjoy that triumph. And then he kind of tries to do it tonight, and then it just doesn't come off. And then you lead to the match with Alistair and Seth, which was fine. And apparently he stopped trying to take out people's eyeballs. Now he's trying to break hands, because that's way easier to gimmick in a pre-taped world.
So after the match, Buddy Murphy and Rollins were beat down Aleister Black on the announce table, and they were going after his arm and his hand, and yeah, continue.
Lamance, if they pumped in crowd noise, I'm kind of okay with that. That or they mic'd the crowd.
I think they mic'd the crowd better.
Either way, I'm okay with the crowd being more audible and you can understand them and hear them better, because that at least helps with the overall presentation of the show. I mean, this was all fine, but very confusing, and I'm not sure where they go from here beyond Seth versus Alistair, which, okay, he can stick the 20 cats on him. It'll be fine.
So we had this week's legend backstage, Ron Simmons.
Always happy to see Ron, but again, why are we having legends backstage?
He told MVP and Lashley that there's a better way to do things, and left. Lashley and then ran into R-Truth and said, "Hey, we want to invite the new 24/7 champion out with us." Truth was like, "All right, cool." And then out of nowhere came Shelton Benjamin, and Shelton Benjamin became the new 24/7 champion. So he came out with Lashley and MVP, and they were talking about the U.S. title. And it's very clear that MVP is not the U.S. champion, even though he is the U.S. champion. And then Ricochet and Cedric Alexander came out, and they brought out a third man we haven't seen in a while.
They found Mustafa Ali, y'all.
Mustafa Ali returned to Monday Night Raw. He ended up getting the win, so that's cool. Good six-man tag. It was fine.
I really enjoyed this. I really liked this. I'm going to save my commentary about MVP as the quasi-US champion for Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here, wildtalkradio.com. Ding! But this was fine. I'm happy Mustafa's back. I'm happy that you're kind of getting these two factions together. I like that you have MVP building that stable. Again, I still maintain that I would like to see him more as a manager than as an active competitor, but I understand. Pandemic, you do what you're gonna do to make sure that the storylines stay interesting and stay original, and so here you go.
It was fine. Randy Orton, he recalled moments of his career and talked about everything that happened with Edge and Christian and what's gonna happen to the Big Show. Good promo. Randy's on another level.
Oh wait, that's right, that match was unsanctioned.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Right, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Then Christian, sad Christian from home.
This is a very nice house, by the way.
Ben said he would do it again if he could, guarantee that Orton would get what was coming to him. He said he can't wait to watch Big Show knock Orton's ass out.
Okay, Christian, honey, you had a chance to do that.
But he got low blowed.
He could have gone and punched Randy in the face at any point that night.
I mean,
it was unsanctioned. He could have grabbed two chairs, gone to Randy Orton's locker room, unprettied him, and then did a concerto on him. But oh no! No, no. He gets dick punched by Ric Flair.
Okay, so what was, I thought, one of the best segments of the night? You had Bianca Belair being interviewed.
Oh my god, this was so good.
And she's just talking her smack about she's the best EST of this and that. Then Peyton Royce came out and she came in involved and she was yapping at Sarah Schreiber. And then Royce got upset with Bianca teaming with Ruby. And then Ruby showed up and then they're jaw-jacking. And Bianca was wondering where Billie Kay was. And, you know, that wasn't a thing. But as they're jaw-jacking, Bianca's like, I want to see you two fight.
Yeah, she's like, they're going back and forth. And she's kind of like in between. She's like, okay, all right, all right, all right. And then they actually kind of start to go for each other. And she's like, no, 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 no. Save it for the ring.
Save it for the ring. Which they did. And y'all, Ruby Riott got her first win in about forever by beating Peyton Royce.
She looked genuinely surprised. I feel horrible saying that. I feel like such a bad person saying that, but legit, the look on her face, she was like, holy shit.
I think
she was going to cry.
It's been like 18 matches or something like that.
Thank God she finally got a win. Let's hope this is an on the up and up for Ruby Riott.
Billie Kay was absent on this show.
She's handling other business, according to her. They're a global brand, the Iconics. She's busy.
So Charlie was interviewing Andrade, Angel Garza, and Zelina Vega, which got interrupted by the Street Profits attacking them, leading to the match, which the Street Profits won.
Why was Angel Garza so sweaty?
He's Angel Garza. He's a ladies' man.
I'm just asking, why is he that sweaty? He's not exerting anything. Does the PC not have air conditioning? I understand he's fully clothed, so it's a little hot, but like...
He just oozes sweat?
Ew. Gross. They make things for that.
So, they are arguing backstage, and it seems like they're back on the same page.
But there is a split probably coming in the next little while, I would suspect.
Yep. So, we had Sasha Banks and Bayley come out, and they're talk about what happened last night, and... You know, everything what happened and talked about the green mist and everything like that. Talked about how someone had to come in and officiate the match. So Bayley stepped in to, you know, do the job.
Did they only have one ref?
I mean, it was a spur of the moment thing. It had to happen. Just, you know, Asuka came out screaming and she's calling her a thief and stuff. But we wondered, how are they going to fix all this? Well, we learned that authority mom, Stephanie McMahon, would be the one to make the decision. She came in via Zoom, Skype.
I'm guessing it was either Zoom or Microsoft Teams.
Something. She called into the show. She talked about how Sasha didn't win, but neither did Asuka, and that next week they can fight for the title, determine who the real champion is, and the match can win on pinfall, submission, disqualification, etc. You can lose if some golden role model shows up and interferes, meaning Bayley. So it was good. It made sense to have an authority intervene.
Yeah, after what happened last night, which the finish of that match was the referee gets the green mist to the face. He's out of the picture. So Bayley strips the referee of his shirt, throws it on, and counts the victory 1-2-3 for Sasha, which is not legal, right? I think that was the one thing about that match where everybody's like, wait, that's not legal. That's not going to stand. That can't stand because she's not the referee in the match. You just can't. You can't set that precedent of anybody can throw on a ref shirt after the ref is incapacitated and officiate the match. There's rules, which... One, this answered my question if William Regal technically has authority over Monday Night Raw. He does not. I was a little disappointed because I kind of wanted them to get William Regal to call in and be like, God damn it, you assholes need an adult.
By the way, I'm here. He has a huge announcement this Wednesday on NXT.
He does. He does. We get to see Uncle William. I'm so excited. But anyway, so I like and I dislike this decision. I like the decision from the standpoint that it's not going to stand. Right? Like, Sasha is not the winner of the title. Therefore, the title is vacated by Sasha. What I don't like is that it does not revert back to Asuka. Because technically it should. At that point, I believe technically the finish of the match is a DQ.
Yeah, but they threw the match out, basically.
They threw the match out, so it should go, in theory, back to Asuka.
Right, and it sort of, technically, she's still the champion. But, so they'll determine who the real champion is on a...
I guess it's the phrasing that I don't like.
Yeah, it's weird phrasing.
Like, real champion. It's like, Asuka's the champion. Like, she didn't lose the title. The match got thrown out, so technically she is still your champion. Excuse me, all they're going to do is they're going to do a rematch between Sasha and Asuka to determine if Asuka gets to keep her title or if it goes to Sasha. That's what it really means. So I don't know if saying the real champion is the right phrasing, and I kind of have an issue with it, but I'm fine with this either way. I like that they got Steph to call in, that they got an authority figure, because I think that was the biggest question coming out of that match last night was, how the hell are they going to do this? Because Raw does not have an authority figure. SmackDown does not have an authority figure. The only U.S. promotion that has an authority figure is William Regal in NXT. He's it. He is the last holdover of that whole general manager, brand manager thing. He's it. So are you going to have William call in? Are you going to have a McMahon? Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to fix this? That was a really big question. And so I like that they answered it. I like that you had Stephanie come in and be like, yeah, no. And oh, yeah, Bailey shows up. You're done. Did they say the same thing for Kari or no?
If anyone interferes, but it was more taking a shot at Bailey interfering all the time.
Yeah. So we'll see where this goes next week.
Bailey and Kairi Sane had a really good matchup. Kairi Sane got the win.
Go, Kairi!
You had Shayna watching on backstage, and she was very vested in whoever the champion is.
She wants her turn.
She does want her turn. But yeah, it seems like Kairi's on her way out, but giving her a nice win over Bailey.
Solid.
Pretty good.
You could have done that the whole time she was there, but you know.
You know what grinds my gears?
What?
Dolph Ziggler.
All right, I'm going to let you go off on this, because this is your thing to yell about.
This man has the balls to interrupt Drew McIntyre on this show and go, I want another match. Give me match. I'll let you choose the stipulation. Why? What has Dolph Ziggler done in 2020 to deserve a title match? What has Dolph Ziggler done in 2020 to deserve a second title match when he got his ass kicked last night? Someone explain that one? Anyone? Oh, and Drew won't tell the stipulation until the match happens.
So basically it's a do-over. Okay, I respect Dolph. I respect everything that Dolph has done, but I'm with Rock on this one. Dolph lost. Fair and square last night. This should be done. Why is Dolph out there saying, I deserve one more title shot? Why do you deserve it? Other than you're Dolph Ziggler, and you're a fantastic man, you're a fantastic talent, why do you deserve a title shot? Another one after you just had one and you lost clean. And there's no explanation for that beyond, I just want it. And of course, Drew's like, yeah, okay, let's do the thing.
That's how he got the match in the first place. He wanted a title shot, and Drew's like, all right, sure, you can have it, and you pick the match too, I don't care.
Yeah, Brent's right. It's like, because Brock and Randy are busy. Because Brock isn't showing up anytime soon. Randy is off killing legends. And they don't really have anybody else for McIntyre. So they're using Dolph to fill that space for Drew to have something to do.
I don't know. It's dumb. It's going to be a match probably around either next week or the week after. It's dumb.
It just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's okay, you want to give Dolph a match? That's fine. That's great. Give Dolph all the chances that he wants. But just at least produce some reason, some justification as to why he deserves the match. Like, and I think this is one of those situations where, and I'm kind of curious if it is actually, where there was a plan for Raw coming out of Extreme Rules. And apparently the entire show got rewritten after last night because of reasons that nobody really knows. Because they were supposed to start taping today, and then it ran, because they were going to tape two shows today, and it went long because they hadn't finished rewriting the show yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of wondering if this was the original plan, or if this was, okay, we need to give Drew something to do because he's the champion and he should be out on TV. So it's like, we're just going to have Dolph re-challenge.
Whatever. You'll have the same Dolph Ziggler 15-minute match, and he'll lose again, and then you'll get Randy and Drew for SummerSlam. Filling time. Speaking of filling time, it was the unsanctioned match, Big Show versus Randy Orton.
I completely forgot this was unsanctioned.
You had Garza and Andrade interfere, you had a Viking Raiders and Fierce, and you know where they're going to have a match probably next week. And yes, the Dolph Ziggler match is next week, just for record. they had table spots and all the, you know, the shenanigans you could have. It was, the match was fine. He had chairs and whatever. He kicked, Big Show kicked out an RKO, and then Randy hit the RKO and got the win, and then, well, another legend's dead. Putt kick to the head of the Big Show.
That was so awkward. He was, like, rubbing up on Big Show at the end.
He was.
It was a little weird. Not, I mean, it's Randy, so, you know, it's gonna be weird, but, yeah, it's just a little odd, I guess. I don't know.
So, yeah. But, no, that was the ending of Monday Night Raw.
This... Okay. There were a lot of questions coming out of Extreme Rules, and some of them got answered, and some of them they did not, and it left other questions. And I don't know if they're necessarily good questions or bad questions, because at the end of a pay-per-view, you always want to leave people asking what's next, what's going to happen. And that is the one thing that they did achieve, good, bad, or indifferent, about Extreme Rules, is coming out of that show, we were all asking a lot of questions, mainly what the fuck just happened. But it still led to us wanting to see that next follow-up and how they go from here. So in that sense, it worked. There was just some really weird continuity choices and logic choices, even by WWE standards, that were just a little like, wait, what are we doing now? We're doing this? Why are we doing this? Like, it just, it, and at least for me, I don't know about anybody else, but when that happens, it breaks that reality that you go into when you watch the show, because it's like you kind of suspend reality where it's like, okay, yeah, this is real. And, you know, somebody really did pop somebody else's eyeball out last night, for example. You know, that was, in quotations, real. And nobody got any type of legal charges filed against them. That, because that's real life. That happens. So there's a certain level of disbelief that you have to give yourself. And when that continuity error kind of happens, it takes you out of that because your brain turns on. And it's like, ding, wait a minute. So I guess it was good. I guess it was bad. I don't know.
It was there.
It was there.
It was there. You know. So, whatever. Good job. Anyway, that's our show.
That's our show.
Lindsay will rant more Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in where we are going to review Extreme Rules along with News Notes NXT. And you're going to get the full reaction to the show, including the Eye for an Eye match, the Wyatt Swamp fight, and many, many others. And my just general thoughts on the show and everything else, because there's a lot of thoughts. Mainly spurred because of the Wyatt Swamp fight. I feel like I got screwed in several storylines based on what happened in that. But that's okay. That's fine. I'm dealing with that and getting over it. But yeah, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. Listen to us rant about Extreme Rules. Or I should say rant. Discuss.
We're
going to
break
down. We're going to discuss.
We're going to discuss Extreme Rules, and we're going to break down the Swamp Fight piece by piece, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night, Midnight Edition, CBRadio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, surprises in store. Oh, yeah. We'll be back for the Raw Post Show next Monday night. 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RockinSock in the 499 shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner.
Yeah, LeMans, here's my thing with unsanctioned matches. And I know we're ending the show. I feel like they should have a gravity of there is no other way that we can do this. Like, you've either been banned for fighting, or you've done the big blow-off match, or so the supposed big blow-off match, but it's like, God damn it, I just hate you so much, I just want to fight you. I don't want to ref. I just want to fight you. And I want to do it to a level of violence that there's no way in God's green earth Vince McMahon and the WWE are ever going to tolerate it, nor are they going to allow it to be covered by their insurance. I feel like that is what an unsanctioned match should be, and the fact that you're just having Randy Orton have these quote-unquote unsanctioned matches for no reason, really beyond he's just murdering people, and not really even doing it in spectacular fashion... I kind of disagree with it a little bit. Also, again, last week, you don't announce an unsanctioned match a week before you're gonna do it. People forget. And also, is it really unsanctioned at that point? Like, is it really, really unsanctioned? Because the company's kind of like, yeah, okay, we know about it. We're going to tolerate it. At that point, it really is kind of sanctioned. Because the company, again, is, like, complicit with it. Like, yeah, okay, go ahead, kill each other. We don't care. Do the thing. Never mind that we have millions of dollars, you know, like, wrapped up in you. But go ahead, murder each other. It's fine. So, yeah. Anyway, you can follow me on Twitter, @LinsWard, LinsWard, and you can go to my Twitch channel, follow that, twitch.tv/LinsWard, or fish butts. Enjoy.
This has been the Raw Pushover, as always, by MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack. Right back here for the Raw Pushover. Every Monday at Long Day, it's a Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com. WildTalkRadio.com.